Welcome to episode 56 of the Band of Gamers podcast. Welcome back. We enjoy having you with us every week, or we weren't here last week, so every other week sometimes. And this week, I'm joined by two very good friends, DBQ Hams.
It's good to be back, even if I'm living out of boxes behind me. But thanks for letting me move, and glad to be back here talking with you guys.
And Zeus Adamus.
There are also lots of boxes in my new house, but I have moved them either out of the room or shoved them into the closet.
And my name is Greylock3491, and I noticed my little tag there at the bottom of the screen disappeared. I thought that was persistent. I have to add that every time?
Yes.
Oh,
man. Well, I don't know. It depends. I've been able to get it. Sometimes when I set it once, it'll show up the next time that I log in, but not always.
Oh, yours is back.
Oh, really? Yeah, I haven't even, it's not even showing. Oh, that's because I'm not in my viewport.
And I'm, like I said, Greylock3491, and this is episode 56, and I am so disorganized. I didn't even move. Well, I moved from one side of the room to the other, but I didn't, like, move states and jobs and all that. Like, these two guys did. These two guys who somehow found the way to make the podcast tonight. And we're going to start, like we do every week, by talking about what we've played. But I'm not going to start this week because I'm, like, totally frazzled. So I'm going to pitch it over to the guy whose name begins with D. DBQ Hams, what did you play? Did you play anything this week?
Oh, yeah. I finally, last Thursday, hooked up my Xbox One again for the first time since the end of July, three and a half weeks or so. So between, I started my new job on August 1st. I was living in a dorm room because my family was still back in a different state. And so, but I did bring my Xbox in case, but I never even hooked it up. But I did a lot of PC gaming over the first 2 weeks of this new job. Pretty intense, long days, 10, 11-hour days at some times. And so really what I found myself playing on the PC was going back to something that was kind of just fluff. So I played some Diablo 3. I played some Marvel Heroes 2016 or whatever year they keep changing it so their Metacritic score increases. But again, that basically the Diablo-like action RPG with Marvel Heroes. So, and that was enjoyable. It was after a long day of trying to figure out how everything else at my new job works, I was just fine to click on things that were shiny and hold down a button to keep shooting my Iron Man lasers. So I did that, but the impetus for rehooking up my Xbox was, one, the upstairs looks a whole lot better than the downstairs here that you can see behind me. And so we're getting settled in. Everything's painted. Things are up against walls now, so I can hook up the TV and the Xbox. Got that going, and I got a chance to play some of the Titanfall 2 alpha with a fellow Kagger, World Voyager. So he and I played a little bit on Saturday morning, and then we played again on Saturday night. And the game even changed between then. It was just really interesting that some of the mechanics are still, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. And you know, we talked about it somewhat on the forums, if you're interested, or there's some discussion going on there on Casual Adult Gamers. But really, the thing we noticed in the Saturday morning one was the time to Titan. So there's a lot of mechanics that have changed. Did you guys, either one of you, get to play? Okay. So I'm going to just briefly cut a few mechanics. So in the first Titanfall, you had a timer, right? And that timer's always ticking, and there's a person up in the upper box saying, oh, 2 minutes till Titan drop, or your Titan is almost ready, right? You had that kind of constant sense. Now, the Titan works almost not quite like a kill streak, but you have to achieve objectives in the game, whether you're rodeoing a Titan, capping a hard point in like a domination game, capping a control point, or killing other players. And so the more that you do that, or even the grunts, the specters from the first game, you know, the more you do that, you're earning and you're filling up this meter to be able to get your Titan. So it has the potential to fill up relatively quickly. You know, on Reddit, there's people who can get it within a minute, minute and a half, even sometimes less, depending on what they're doing or what the map is. But that kind of general ebb and flow of the game where, regardless of what's going on, you know you're going to get that chance for the Titan to kind of move around, to feel that sense of empowerment. And so here, you know, there were some matches where I had the Titan 3 times, and there were some matches where I only got it once. And that's it just changes that mechanic. The pilots in the first game were very quick, and you were doing a lot of wall running. Wall running still exists in this, but it feels, I don't know, it almost feels a little like the atmosphere is too heavy on whatever planet they're on, right? To think about it within the in-universe context, that they're moving slower, the pace of the run is slower, and when you're on the wall, you're definitely moving, but you're moving, it doesn't feel nearly as fluid as the first one. Again, so this is a technical alpha, so they're hopefully tweaking things, which they did when we booted it up on Saturday night. There was a screen up that said, you know, we've tweaked some Titan mechanics, we've added some things, we've increased the timers, you know, or the meters. So they're hopefully taking some feedback from it. It was, both World Voyager and I went back and played a little bit of Titanfall 1 just to get a comparison. And it's hard to do that, you know, it's a technical alpha and versus a polished finished product that's been patched. And so, yeah, the world feels more alive, it's more fluid, it's running, it looks really good and feels really fun to play. I have more fun playing Titanfall 1 than I did playing the alpha so far, but even the difference, I guess the positive thing for me is that somebody was really excited about this game because I came to Titanfall 1 late, but really enjoyed it. So I was excited about this game, looking forward to it. The idea of a single player, that's great. The benefit of the test, I guess, is that I enjoyed playing Saturday night more than I did Saturday morning. So it's gone to a game that I was probably going to, I felt really excited about pre-ordering, to one that I'm going to wait and see what the next beta looks like, play it some more, use my EA access to get 10 hours in and see if it's something I really want to stick around with. So it's not, you know, there's plenty of Reddit threads out there about people who are saying they've changed way too much, you know, but they've definitely tried to take it in a different direction a little bit. So we'll see how it all shakes out. That's a long rant for me, but I haven't been talking for a while. And it's a new game, so.
So, DB, when you said Marvel Heroes earlier, did you really mean Marvel Heroes, or did you mean Marvel Ultimate Alliance?
No, I did not mean the remastered, buggy, latent frame rate Marvel Ultimate Alliance that got re-released. I meant Marvel Heroes, the, gazillion developer, the Diablo-like, free-to-play.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I had picked up 2 characters on a Steam sale this summer for like $2.50. So for the first time, I could go over level 10 without just busting out of... again, the game is... it's fun, but it's kind of just... you know, it's popcorn. There's not any substance to it. And it's... I played it a little bit last year, and playing again this year, there's a whole lot of free-to-play mechanics built into it to load up your inventory with daily check-ins and everything else. And also, as it loads up your inventory, it encourages you to expand your inventory with a purchase, right? So, but the gameplay is fun.
Now that's a game. So who was it that used to do Champions? Was that the people who used to do Champions came off of Champions to do DCUO? Is that correct?
I'm going to look it up right now. Fact checking as we go. Champions of Norrath, right?
no champions. It was the superhero Morpig that was grown from the old tabletop RPG champions.
Oh yeah, yeah, yep. So not City of Heroes, but Champions. Yes.
I think City of Heroes is the actual game title.
Okay, so there is City of Heroes. There's Champion Online, which was 2009, which was Cryptic.
Okay. The more recent and more successful one was City of Heroes.
City of Heroes, yep. Okay.
And are those the guys who went on to do DC UO?
I do not know. Okay, so we don't have to fact check as we go. I'll jump back in and answer this. But so Zeus, while I'm looking up your questions and doing research for you, as a good librarian should, what have you been playing?
So yeah, I'll run that down. I just want to mention. So the reason I asked is that, so the advent of superhero RPGs coming as Morpigs was the closest I've gotten to dipping my toes into a Morpig. But I have still continued to abstain, and it's unfortunate because I want to either that team that was doing City of Heroes wound up being paid a lot of money to go off and do either DC UO or Marvel, so they wound up letting that City of Heroes one, I guess, coast down and become less maintained. My only problem with DC UO and Marvel is it's so centered around playing a known superhero, whereas for me, you know, particularly from the pen and paper tabletop RPG days, like the games I loved playing, because there was a DC role playing game and there was a Marvel role playing game, but what I liked playing were games where you created your own hero. So
City of Heroes was NCSoft, and they've gone on to do WildStar, which.
Okay.
Is, you know, kind of that Ratchet and Clank type of art style.
Okay. Gotcha. So I'll run down mine hopefully pretty quickly. And I apologize, I just mowed the yard from the first time at my new place, which took me about an hour on a riding lawnmower. So my nose is full of grass right now and our pollen, and that's causing me some allergy issues. But if you look at the titles in my recently played list, it's older titles, Project Cars, TEC 3001, Need for Speed Most Wanted, all things which I've talked about on this show, as having played in 2016, so pretty recently. The reason for that is so when I got here and I got all of this set up, I brought up my Lenovo Y50, which is my primary gaming laptop, and wound up using the GeForce Experience app, which typically runs in my tray, and took down the latest GeForce driver update, which is a driver that posted on the 15th of August. So this all happened last week. So I pulled that down, and after pulling it down and installing those drivers, that system did not boot. It would come up and the cursor would flash and the hard drive light would flash, but it would not boot to Windows. So I went through a lot of troubleshooting, tried system restores, none of those worked. Actually went so far as to restore an old image of that machine that I had from April. At that point I had not yet isolated the culprit to the GeForce driver, so I pulled down the GeForce drivers again after blowing the install image onto a new SSD that I threw into that machine, and immediately experienced the same problems. So I wound up factory resetting the machine and wiping all of my data and doing a fresh install of Windows 10. So the machine is up and running on that machine. I have not pulled down that August 15th GeForce driver update, and it's running fine. But, have I played some games? Yes. But most of it has been in the name of attempting to test and troubleshoot and prove out system stability on a new install on that system. So, my Xbox One and PS4 and PS3 and my NVIDIA Shield Android TV. You know, lots of those things are hooked up, but I have pretty much not gotten the chance to play anything but PC games again in the wake of restoring that system. So I've done a lot of gaming. I cannot necessarily say all of it was fun. In Need for Speed Most Wanted, probably the best thing was it was a really late night gaming session, and I was really, really wanting to go to bed. I wrapped up a race, and I had heat on me at the end of the race, and of course I can't quit the game and go to bed in the middle of a cop chase. So I insisted on trying to lose the cops, and it turned into literally about a 1 hour pursuit before I was able to successfully evade the cops. So I wound up in bed at sometime past 1 a.m. I evaded the cops, but it was very ugly, very stop and go. So like I would evade the cops for like 10 seconds before I would get wrecked again. I switched to like 3 or 4 different cars. So it's not what I would call a successful gaming session. But it happened, and I recorded it, and it's now posted on YouTube, which incidentally in the new place, uploading a 2 gig video takes 44 seconds, uploading a 14 or a 10 gig video. I can't remember exactly what it is. I would say uploading a 15 gig video takes 5 minutes. So
it's not too bad for speed, though.
No, not at all.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. What I really want to see, though, is the end of that video clip where you're exhausted, and what is your commentary as you're trying to go to bed and just get away from the cops at the same time?
Yeah. So, well, when I posted it on social media, I think the tagline was "I just want to go to sleep." Because there were times in that video where I was like, "Oh, I just want to go to sleep." But I guess I don't know if it's being a completionist or I guess I'm a little obsessive about where I end my gameplay. And like I said, I just refuse to just bounce out of the game. I like to end the game by parking the car. You know, because I've mentioned in that game, the way you get into different cars is you kind of find them in parking spots. So if you tap from the live menu, change car, it doesn't swap you into a car. It gives you a GPS waypoint to drive to pick the car up from where it's parked. So that's kind of how I insist on ending the game. So that's my own personal obsession, which isn't necessary, but there it is. So Gray, what about you? What have you been playing, man?
Well, I've gotten to sleep before one most nights, so I'm a little bit better than you. Now my computer crashed a couple weeks ago, so I know the pain. I actually went back to Windows 7 on my G75 because I was having issues with Windows. It was it kept losing important files I had on my D drive, and I just at the end of it came down to thinking that it must be a compatibility issue with the laptop hardware and Windows 10 and the hardware that accesses the hard drive, whether it's SATA or whatever it is internally. So I went back to Windows 7, haven't had a problem since. So kind of sad, but there's no guarantee a 5-year-old laptop's going to run Windows 10. I found out the hard way. Having said that, been playing a lot of Division, going through the Division. A friend of mine just got it, Mace Bite. And me and Spyro has been playing with him, taking a break from Destiny a little bit to play through Division from scratch again. And enjoying it. It's fun. As long as you don't expect to be able to save many guns because your stash is so small. And, I just sell everything, all the extra stuff I get that I don't need. And kind of like Destiny, you just make weapon pots out of it. In Division, I just sell everything I don't need. So having fun. It's a fun game. Very vulgar. I wish there was a profanity switch like they have in other games. I think Gears of War was one that had one. I think we've talked about this before. But, it's like sound travels outside the room. I can keep the images in the room, but the sound travels outside the room. So Ubisoft, come on, get on the ball. You can add that in very easily.
Great. Does the game play any different than it did 5 months ago during launch? I mean, does it feel like they've tweaked things in terms of gun damage, or it's really just been kind of adding and tweaking the endgame stuff? I mean, does the going back through the story missions, does the pace feel any different, or do they still feel like bullet sponges?
To me, it feels identical. I don't notice a change at all. There probably are some, but I don't notice any changes at all. And I enjoy it. It's enjoyable. You know, I'm a little bit of a completionist where I want to clean out a block, you know, and get all those side missions done. But in the same token, I have to remind I have to remind Spiral and Mace. It's like they're like, oh, there's some baddies over there. I'm like, yeah, just like in Destiny, those guys keep respawning. All right, we've already killed them 5 times. We're just going to run by them now, you know. And that's kind of what we do in Destiny. After a while, you're going through, you know, areas to get to new missions, and there's just the random people who spawn. And it's not always advantageous to, you know, if you're just leaving your safe house with a full load of med packs and bullets, why beat up on these NPCs that keep respawning and respawning and respawning, you know. So, but no, I enjoy. It's a fun game. It's a fun co-op game. I like that it has 4-player slots and not 3, like the unlike Destiny. I wish it had more. I know there's a way to get more people to get in the same area and on the same server as you, but it'd be nice if they would let 8 people join in. It'd be a lot of fun. The other game I was playing, so I was really watching No Man's Sky. I was very interested in the game. I love the look of the game. I guess the biggest problem with it is it has no multiplayer, and it's not on the Xbox One, right? So I could buy it and play it on my computer, right, which is great. But Xbox One is where most of my friends are. It's the easiest thing for me to play when I just want to plop down on the couch. And, you know, I do remote stream to my laptop from Xbox One, and I can do that with my PC as well with Steam. But, you know, so I was looking at the Xbox One, and I'm like, you know, I want a game like No Man's Sky that has multiplayer. There's no Star Citizen, there's no Eve, there's no No Man's Sky, and No Man's Sky doesn't have multiplayer. So I went out and bought Elite Dangerous. They now include the Horizon expansion with it, or Season Pass with it. And at first it was very challenging to learn how to fly my ship and learn how to navigate. I don't think the tutorials that come with it are that good. They have a lot of tutorials, but, you know, I think it needs, you know, kind of, you start the game, you basically start the game in a ship. So when you go to start the game, you're in the cockpit of a ship. So I think they should add a little, maybe a 2-minute preface or CGI video or something, just to kind of set the beginning of the game up, right? But once I learned how to fly my ship and do missions, and I got an upgrade so I could at least travel out of the few star systems I was stranded in. It really, really got interesting. And I did a planetary landing, and I drove my buggy around, and it was like a moon buggy or like a, you know, like a, I don't know, one of those buggies are on Mars right now, you know, the 6-wheeled or 8-wheeled rovers. And, man, that was fun to drive around on the surface of a moon-like planet. And look for stuff. And hyperspace is cool. You always come out right in front of a sun. And, of course, there's all kinds of different suns, and they just look gorgeous. And I actually put up my YouTube channel and on the CAG Facebook page a video, just some snapshots, just some videos from this week. But I guess the highlight was that my good buddy World Voyager has the game as well. And I think some other of my friends have it, but none of them responded to me on CAG or Facebook. So... But Wonder Boy V2 has the game as well. And so Wonder Boy traveled like a bazillion light years to meet up with me, because I only could travel like 10 light years before my hyperspace drive wouldn't let me make any more jumps because it was too far away. So Wonder Boy V2 flew halfway across the galaxy, it seemed, to meet up with me. And so I have a friend in the galaxy, you know, out of 400 billion stars out there. I have at least a friend that I can now go on missions and bounties and do stuff with. So a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. It definitely seems like a game that I will be streaming to my laptop just while my wife is watching, you know, some of those, you know, the wedding dress shows. And I always forget the names of these shows, but shows that I'm not interested in. A lot of the house shows, the home shows, the property selling and fixing up shows. So, but it's a lot of fun, and I love the fact that you can play solo, co-op, or open world, and no matter which one you pick, you have the same gear. You have your same ships, you have your same dough, you have everything's the same. And I also love that the developer, they were at Gamescom last week, and they have a ton of plans for the game enhancements, and they're releasing simultaneously on PC and Xbox One. Now, there's no cross-buy, there's no cross-play. I wish there was. That would be cool. But even so, very interesting game. It's really like an open-world survival game because you know, you're traveling from planet to planet, space station to place, space station to space station, trying to, you know, either collect bounties or deliver cargo or deliver data or, you know, one of the many. You can actually become a pirate if you want to. So that's really what I play the most of. And if you want to see my clips, just head over to the CAG Facebook group or head over to the CAG website and you'll see, I think it's a couple minute clip of just some of the stuff I did. And I actually got stuck on a planet for a time in my rover. I thought I was going to die, but but finally my ship came back and picked me up. So a lot of interesting stuff happened in Elite Dangerous. So really enjoying it. And that's really my playlist. Any questions?
Yeah, you know, and I was very tempted to hijack our thread and spool off in another direction, but I'm just going to throw this out, and maybe we can revisit it in an upcoming episode. I find it incredibly interesting as all of us talk through it, and I know, DB, you've been displaced, so your gaming habits may not be your norm, and same for me. But even with you, Gray, you know, the biggest releases of last year, and I mean literally, if you go back to our shows from last year, literally what we talked about almost definitely for the second half of the year were Rainbow Six Siege, Star Wars Battlefront, The Division, Destiny. It was all of these class-based, role-based, first-person or third-person shooters in persistent worlds that had no single-player campaign. That was the year 2015. At least 50 to 60, 70% of the gaming content, and it's a lot of what we talked about. And when I look at the 2016 fall lineup coming up, that's not what it is. It's much more traditional gaming titles that we were accustomed to seeing in Generation 7. And we're not spending the amount of time that we're spending talking about games of that ilk is definitely tapering off. We still talked about it a good amount, mostly in terms of revisiting some of those games that maybe we didn't find out to be everything that we wanted them to be. And I don't know. I think in small chunks they were our be all end all to certain short periods of gaming. But my point is that I think it'd be an interesting discussion to have later about, you know, what that means, what that dynamic means, and how we feel about it. You know, was that kind of a flash in the pan fad? Do we expect to not see a lot of those games this fall, but see a bunch of them come back in 2017, or what? It's just interesting as I kind of heard you guys going through your list and kind of harken back to. You would think that we would still be talking about all those games now, and that basically we would all be playing like three different games, right? We would have picked three of those titles from last year, and being that they're kind of sort of morpigs almost, or mopoas, that they would be occupying all of our gaming time.
So in true Bandit Gamers podcast fashion, I will be the disagreement here. So so I think the one thing that, you know, popped up on our radar for an episode, but really hasn't been something we've been talking about, but looking out in terms of online users, Blizzard's Overwatch is, you know, multiplayer only, class-based shooter, very much in that kind of Counter-Strike Go, Team Fortress 2, you know, but with a whole lot of character and class. And that's, it's done, it's, I would be hard-pressed to think that it hasn't owned the summer in terms of server numbers, outside of bigger established PC games, you know, into your MOBAs, things like that. Yeah, so I think that there's still a place for that. I think it is something that people chased after for a long time, and the pie is not nearly as big as what people probably thought, right? Just ask the Battleborn developers as well, right? That it's not, it was something that people were hunting after of that. You know, it's the multiplayer stuff that keeps us coming back, but really the multiplayer things in in Rainbow Six Siege and Battlefront were all traditional kind of PvP multiplayer competitive, where something like Destiny and The Division came out this spring, and yeah, I mean, Gray, you stuck with it more than any of us, but again, it's that idea of the co-op aspect of it. And so I think that there's still a place for that co-op focused gameplay. But at the same time, you know, I think about, like you said, the fall releases outside of your standard shooters, you know, between Battlefront and Titanfall and Call of Duty, which are going to see more legs on the multiplayer mode, although all three of those have gotten better press coverage based on their single player stories, right? I mean, the fact that Infinity Ward's gone back to the drawing board and kind of come up with a new setting, that Titanfall 2 has a single player story, and the big piece with Battlefront is, not Battlefront, with Battlefield, is that they're doing a lot of, you know, granted it's not completely